So when we are Buddhists, we need to understand one principal thing in order to understand the teachings of the Lord Buddha, and that is rebirth. Without rebirth, the whole teaching of the Lord Buddha does not make sense. Yeah? So if you do not trust the Lord Buddha, yeah, about rebirth, I mean, we cannot find the way out, yeah, of the cycle of birth and death. We cannot find out that, you know, cannot open the door of the hamster wheel where we turn around, yeah. And that is something that is, that doesn't seem clear to the people. And with this, with rebirth also comes karma, comes in very close. Yeah? People talk about it, yeah, but they don't, they might understand it, but it doesn't really vibrate in the heart. Karma is something, you know, it explains all the situations we are in. Yeah? So, and the karma comes from previous lives, you know, and the karma that we do now goes to the next lives. So whatever situation we are in at the moment, yeah, and when we look at the world, you know, no matter what, yeah, where we are, you know, if we are in Europe, in the States, you know, if we are in Asia, if we are in Thailand, we are in the situation because of our karma, yeah? And there is nothing that we can change about this. So, I mean, either we can live with the situation, and because we don't have only one kind of karma, we can choose, you know, to go a different path. Yeah? That means if we live in Europe and we don't like, you know, like it at the moment because, I mean, all is upside down, or I live in America because all is upside down. People are locked in into their villages, cannot meet their friends, yeah? Only the closest of family. They do have the choice, you know, to leave to a country, you know, and there are countries, you know, in this world where they are freer, yeah? But that, of course, it is not easy. You think you lose your friends, you don't know what is going to happen, yeah? I mean, you have to rely on your karma when you choose a new way. And that is rather difficult for most of the people who just know one straight road, yeah? They go, you know, it seems to be easy, you know, they are born in a way, you know, they are taught, you know, by their parents, they are taught by their teachers, and they are taught by society, you know, you choose this path, and they say, oh, yeah, fine, let's go this path, yeah. But then a lot of things are happening along this path, yeah. And then they have to, you know, we cannot fight it, you know, we have to accept it, yeah. But we have different choices, as I explained before. But what I mentioned in the beginning, the rebirth, the concept of being born and die, and being born again and die, is that what we need to really, what really needs to sink in our hearts. Yeah? I mean, we have lived so many lives, millions, maybe billions of lives we have lived. We have lived as human beings, we have lived as animals, we have lived in the ghost realm, in the demon realm, we have lived probably most of the time in the hell realm, sometimes, you know, in the heavenly realm. And then the question for us, you know, I mean, if we really trust the teaching of the Lord Buddha, how long do we want to go on? And that is the thing that gives us the motivation, yeah? When we think about, yeah, when we reflect about our previous lives, yeah? How often have we been a farmer? How often have we been a soldier? I mean, I'm just talking about the human lives, yeah? Or sometimes, how often have we been in heaven? Why choose heaven again? Yeah? I mean, how often have we been in hell, yeah? This kind of reflection, yeah, hopefully gives us the motivation, yeah, to practice wholeheartedly until the end of our life and do the best that we can to find the way out. Because if you don't find the way out in this life, I mean, it is more difficult to find out the way in the next life. If you say, tomorrow and tomorrow, you know, I will do it tomorrow, or I will do it in 5 years, or when I'm retired, or so on, I mean, you don't know if you're going to do it. I mean, how often have we promised ourselves that next year I'm going to retire for sure, How often did you say that to yourself, Carlos? Next year I'm retired, you know, and then something came up, and then, you know, just 1-2 more years, And then 2 more years, you know, and then 2 more years, you know, and then you're close to the death already, you know, and you don't have the time, you know, to practice. So reflecting about this, how often have you been, you know, in the human life, how often have you been a soldier or politicians, or maybe, you know, maybe this or maybe that, or a servant or a slave, I mean, slavery is not, I mean, it's just around the corner, So do we want to have a next life? This is the question you should ask yourself. Or don't we want to make every effort that we can, Put all our effort, into the practice. And the practice, you know, to find the way out is the practice of Sila, Samadhi and Panya. Sila are the 5 precepts for the monks, are the 227 precepts for the people who live in the monastery, are the 8 precepts. So we should keep them and then forget about them, And then we concentrate on Samadhi, Samadhi, the ability to concentrate on one point, And this can be difficult, but always please remember one thing. Learning or training Samadhi is just, when we remember when we were young, training to walk. We get up and we fall over. And then we get up and fall over again. And then we get up and fall over again. And each time we can stand up a little bit longer and a little bit longer until we can stand up. And then we can learn how to walk, But we walk, you know, 1 or 2 steps and then we fall over. Then we walk 2 or 3 steps and then we fall over. And then we walk 4 or 5 steps and then we fall over. And that is the same thing with Samadhi. Don't get disappointed or don't pull your heart away from it, I mean, just do it, I mean, whenever, just be patient, And patience is number one virtue that we need. Patience, patience, patience. We see that the mind goes out, and the moment we see that the mind goes out, we pull it back. That's all. That's the whole, that is the key to the practice, We see the mind goes out, we don't get annoyed about that the mind goes out, because that is the nature of the mind, But we pull it back, And the more we pull it back, and the more often we pull it back, the longer it stays, with the Buddha or with the breath. And that is the key. And this we have to remind ourselves every day, I mean, I don't want any results. I don't want to get quiet, calm or happy, No, these results come from our work. When we do the work, we automatically get the result of being happy or calm, or peaceful or whatever, But if we don't do the work and just look for the results, we never, What do I sometimes say, it's like digging a hole, As long as you dig, the hole will get deeper. The moment you stop digging, the hole fills up, there's no more hole. Yesterday there was such a nice deep hole, where we didn't hear anything, the whole world disappeared, There was just a little bit of the, the sky that we saw, And then the next day we practice, where is this hole? It's gone. It only comes, through our constant digging. And this constant digging means, we are constantly repeating the Buddha or staying with the breath and pulling the mind back to the breath, Until there is no more thought, until there is no more memory coming up, And then it is quiet. And then we stop the mind engine. And then we can see other things, Then we can see, then we can experience, And in this world, I mean, it's called Upachara Samadhi. In this Upachara Samadhi, there is no future. There is no past. We don't worry about anything. We are not afraid. And we are not lonely. We are suddenly the first time, you know, I mean the first time you really enter, you feel connected to all beings. Yeah? And that is our natural habitat. Yeah? We are connected to all beings. But when we are here, when we open our eyes and we see our body and see other bodies or see animals, you know, I mean, we feel disconnected from them. We don't feel the connection to it because we think that's me and that is him, yeah? And that is me and that is it, yeah? And so on, yeah? So we feel disconnected, yeah? But the moment we enter samadhi, we feel connected to everything, yeah? And this is something that everybody has to experience, yeah? This gives us also not only the motivation about reflection or about rebirth, but this shows us we are on the right path, yeah? It shows us, you know, that there is the happiness that most of us were always looking for it, yeah? We were always looking for some peace, yeah? Sometimes you can't stand, you know, the restlessness that is around us, yeah? All this noise that is around us, and then we go inside into samadhi, into upacara samadhi, and then we find it, you know? Ah, there it is. It has always been there. We just don't care to look, yeah? Because we are trained from the moment we are born, we are trained to look outside. We don't train ourselves to look inside. And that is something that is a tough training. And when we get older, you know, it is tougher, yeah? I mean, we have trained for so many years, you know, to look outside, to think outside, yeah? And to think and to try to solve problems, yeah? I mean, when you go into enter samadhi, there are no problems because there is no thoughts and there is no memories. So where are the problems, yeah? But if you want to enter samadhi, there are a lot of problems, yeah? Oh, I can't stay with my Buddha, or I can't stay with my breath, or now my knee hurts, or now my back hurts, you know, or I can't sit anymore, I mean, it's too long, and so on. And all these thoughts, you know, create all these problems. Yeah? When there is no more thoughts, there is no more problem. Yeah? Yeah? And that is something that we really have to experience, you know, and that gives us encouragement to go on. Yeah. And then the third part of the fourth noble truth, you know, panya, yeah? And we start with panya while doing samadhi. We start with investigation of pain. So when we sit, yeah, when we sit for a long time, sooner or later pain comes, yeah? And then we have to deal with the pain, huh? As long as we can concentrate on the Buddha, as long as we can concentrate on the breath, there's no problem. We should not investigate pain. Even if there's slight pain, even if there's strong pain, as long as we can still concentrate on the Buddha or on the breath, you know, just stay on it. But the moment, you know, it becomes too difficult, then go with your concentration. As I said before, I mean, when we have sati, when we have this, with this kind of awareness, then we can go to the point where the pain is the strongest. And then we look at it. And then we start to investigate. And investigation is there, you know, to develop our wisdom. We want to know what pain is. We don't want to get rid of pain. It's impossible to get rid of pain. Huh? But our fear of pain is so strong that we want to understand what is pain. Yeah? And then we ask, you know, we go, you know, the first thing we ask about the qualities of the pain. Is it strong? Is it pulsating? You know, is it an area? Is it point-wise? Is it constant or is it not constant? And then when we see, you know, I mean, we look at all the qualities of the pain, you know, and we see, oh, it's not constant. You know, sometimes it's a bit stronger, sometimes it's a bit weaker, then it comes stronger again, then it becomes weaker. So where's the problem, yeah? Then the next stage of the investigation is to ask the questions, yeah? So where exactly is the pain? Before there was no pain, you know, and now suddenly there is pain. And then we ask the question, where is it? Is it in the skin? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the bones? Is it in the flesh? Is it in the muscles? Where is it? Yeah? Because you know, and you know already from experience, I don't need to tell you that, yeah? Because the moment you had pain, you know, previously in your meditation, you got up and there was no more pain. So where is it? Huh? It suddenly disappears, you know, I mean, pain does not disappear, yeah? I mean, if you cut your finger, you know, I mean, the pain, no matter if you lie down, if you stand, if you sit, you know, there is the pain, yeah? That's the pain of the body. It's a different kind of pain. So we have to find out what is pain, yeah? And where is it, yeah? And you will see, in the beginning, you know, if you do it the first few times, you know, the pain, the moment you concentrate on the pain actually disappears instantly, yeah? And so then you go back to the Buddha, yeah? But sooner or later, you know, the pain stays on, yeah? And then we can really go deep down, you know, investigate. The moment we are very close to the truth what pain is, yeah? The pain disappears, you know, when it was in the left knee, you know, it goes to the right knee. And then you see, you know, I mean, this was excruciating pain in the left knee. And then suddenly it shifts to another point, and then the left knee is without pain, but now the right knee is full of pain. How can that happen? But we get fooled by it. We constantly get fooled by it, yeah? We get fooled by the kilesas who say, yeah, now it is too much, now it is too much, I cannot bear it anymore, and if I sit longer, I will break my legs, or I will break my back, or I will ruin my body, yeah? I mean, we sit in the airplane for 11 hours and we never ruin our body. But when we sit here in Samadhi for 20 minutes, we ruin our body instantly, huh? This is where wisdom comes in. That's these kind of arguments we should have, you know? I mean, when I sit, you know, and watch a movie, I don't feel like, you know, my body is breaking apart or I don't ruin my body, yeah? But when I sit now in Samadhi, it's the same kind of sitting, yeah? Why should I ruin my body? Yeah. So you have these answers, you know, for the kilesas, you know. I mean, you tell them, see, huh? So that they cannot fool you anymore. So you have to have them, you know, up your sleeves, yeah, like you say, yeah. You have to have them up your sleeves, you know. Say, when they come, oh, I break my leg, yeah. And then you say instantly, you know, when I sit in the airplane, I never break my leg, yeah. Yeah? I never ruin my body, you know, when I watch movies for 3 or 4 hours, yeah? I never ruin my body, yeah? So, these things, yeah? And then, you know, when you see it, it moves from one point to the other, where it was excruciating, and then, you know, it is in the right knee, and now it is excruciating. Then you do the same thing. Then you go to this point, yeah? And then you do the same thing, as I said, you know, is it anicca, is it anatta, is it dukkha, you know, where is it exactly, is it point-wise, is it moving, yeah? And so on, until you close come to the truth, and then it jumps to another point. And then you go to the another point, yeah? Until it leads you to the, to the source of all the problem. To the source, you know, where it actually arises, yeah? And then you can deal with it in another way, yeah? Once you see where it arises, you know, then you can deal with it. And then you can overcome pain, yeah? But that is only the first stage, yeah? And that's what we need, you know, when we do sitting practice, especially sitting practice. With walking practice, there's another problem, yeah? Oh, we are so tired, you know, we cannot walk on, yeah? This tiredness also comes in sitting practice. Yeah? We have to overcome tiredness. Okay, yeah? Then we just have to say, okay, kilesas, you're tired, okay, go to sleep, you know, and leave me alone, you know, and I do my walking meditation, yeah? And then you see, you know, if you don't give in to these tiredness, to this suggestion, because it's just the suggestion of the kilesas, yeah? Oh, I'm tired, or I'm bored, or I'm this, or I'm that, yeah? It's the kilesas who want to divert the attention, you know, from the practice. Because they feel, you know, I mean, they don't have any room to play, yeah? They are our masters, you know, and if they can't order us around, yeah? I mean, they are not happy, they are unhappy, yeah? And they, yeah, when they are unhappy, then they make us believe that we are unhappy, yeah? And just tell them, okay, go to sleep and then leave me alone, yeah? And then I do my walking meditation, yeah? Oh, I don't want to do walking meditation. You don't have to do walking meditation. Let me, yeah? You go and sit there somewhere or go to sleep and I do my walking meditation. And then you will see, over the time, you know, I mean, they disappear. And then you slowly enter samadhi. No matter if you're walking meditation or if you're sitting meditation. So investigating pain is the first investigation to develop wisdom. Yeah? And you have to have, you know, some of the answers you have to have up your sleeves. Yeah, so you have to have, you know, when they come, yeah, you have to really counteract the klesas. Yeah? We always believe what the klesas tell us. Oh, I'm tired. I need to go to sleep. And then what we say? Yes. We never argue, you know, we never argue against them and say, huh? Why? Why should I be tired? Yeah? Huh? No, we say yes, and whatever. Oh, I need this. Yes. Huh? I need that. Yes. I don't like this. Yes. I don't like that. Yes. I would like to have this. Yes. We always say yes to the klesas. But the klesas, if you understand that the klesas are not us. We are not the klesas. This is a voice that we are clearly aware of. So, I mean, what is the awareness? It is aware of the voice, you know, that tells us what we like and what we dislike. Yeah? And what is the awareness? There are two different things. Yeah? We cannot be both. Yeah? So the awareness that notice, you know, just like you, when you sit with another person, you know, you hear him talking, you know it's not you. Oh? Yeah? In this, we have to gather this kind of wisdom, you know, and say, it's not me, you know. I mean, somebody else, you know, says, yeah. Somebody who tells me it's me, yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's something that knows that tells me something, yeah. So we have to become clever, you know. The fight, you know, the fight against the klesas is a very tough fight, yeah. I mean, what did the Lord Buddha say, you know? I mean, it is easier as a single person to fight a whole army than to fight oneself, yeah? Because that is, you know, what the klesas tell us. That's me, that's mine, that is myself, yeah? And we have to learn in the investigation or in the development of wisdom. It's not me. Whatever I can see, whatever I can hear, whatever I can feel cannot be me. Because the one who knows, you know, that there is a feeling, that there is a memory, that there is a thought, yeah? It's a separate, you know, a separate object, yeah? So there's somebody, there's a subject, you know, the awareness that knows that the object has come into place, yeah? Or appeared, yeah? And it will also notice, you know, when there's a thought, you know, appears, you know, it will also disappear, huh? It will already understand the anicca, yeah, impermanent, yeah. Whatever comes, you know, will change, yeah. Whatever comes will change and will disappear. So a thought comes up, you know, it disappears, yeah. If you don't put any interest in it, it will disappear. But the moment we put interest in it, you know, comes more about this thought, you know, similar thoughts, then it jumps, yeah. I mean, when you see, when you think, when you observe, when you have enough sati and observe thoughts, yeah, then there are three thoughts about one subject, and then it jumps the subject because it's already boring. Yeah? The klesas don't like boredom. Yeah? So, I mean, they have three thoughts about the subject, but then they jump to another subject, and then they jump to another subject, and before you know it, they're all around the world one time. Yeah? So, this is where we really, you know, start to get a little bit wise about, you know, what is happening. Just like I said, you know, I mean, if you open a watch, you know, and then we see the gears, you know, running around, you know. But if we close it, you know, we have the time, yeah. And that's the same thing when we open ourselves up, yeah. When we are with this awareness, you know, and know that these things are happening, then it is like opening the watch, you know, and there's no self, yeah. Just like in samadhi, there is no self. But when we close it, when we say, oh yes, that's me, I'm tired, I'm disappointed, I'm sad, you know, I need to go somewhere else, you know. But the moment we believe it, you know, it's like closing the watch and not seeing the gears, yeah. So we have to understand all these things, you know, come into place, you know, but whatever comes into place, what appears, you know, has to disappear, yeah. This awareness never disappears. It's always there. Yeah? So, and that is something that we have to know. Okay, understood? Yeah? So, what is the question?
There are two questions. It's about the Sutta.
Two questions.
One
okay.
is from YouTube and one is from the email. So
from what?
From the email.
From email.
From the website. So the one from YouTube. Dear Ajahn, when we cut open the body, an unpleasant feeling arise. And when we put it all back together and see the body normal, then a pleasant feeling arises. It's very subtle feelings, but distinct.
Yeah.
An irritation also arises while doing it and afterwards. That seems to be defilement. Unhappy about this meditation. Do we continue in this fashion?
Yes. That is exactly, you know, how it should appear. So, I mean, the moment we do a supa, yeah? The moment we cut open the body, I mean, we see this mess. I mean, nobody likes to look at this shit, yeah, that comes out of the body. But everybody likes to look, you know, at the nice food that is in the morning there, yeah. Oh, wonderful, you know, this is, yeah. When you see these little kids, all this chocolate, all this ice cream, all this pizza, you know, hamburger, oh, fantastic. But when it comes out of the body, you know, nobody likes to look at it. When we open up the body, you know, I mean, we see a mess of blood, of pus, of all these, this yellow, disgusting things, yeah? Then, of course, an unpleasant feeling arises, and that's why we do a supa. The moment we close up this body, you know, and put over, you know, this nice skin, you know, and then it becomes very beautiful, so a pleasant feeling arises. But the more often we do that, the more often we do a supa practice, I mean, after the, not while the asupa practice, yeah, a very aggressive feeling starts to arise, yeah? Because we are slowly going to destroy the illusion about the body. And that makes us more aggressive, yeah? So a lot of hate, you know, or hatred, you know, or feelings of hatred will come up, yeah? That is actually a very good sign of asupa practice, yeah? So I mean, if this does not come, if this feeling does not come, and we just play around, you know, opening up, closing, and opening up and closing, and this feeling of this repulsion doesn't come up, then we don't do the asupa practice correctly, and it doesn't have any effect. Yeah, it will have the effect if you do it correctly. It will have the effect of distancing ourselves from the identification with the body. And that is the whole idea. Mm-hmm. To think that this body is really nice. Yeah. Okay.
And the other one, so thank you for your talk and video, how to practice body contemplation. Can I send gratitude and metta to each body part as I do the body contemplation?
The body parts are not alive, yeah? So, I mean, they are not beings. I mean, you can send metta, you know, beings. What he's trying to do, or what this person is trying to do, is getting rid of these unpleasant feelings, so he wants to send metta to this. And that is counterproductive.
Yeah, when I read this question, there was just something similar, how some Tibetan, they deal with pain, they will send metta on the knees and things like that. There was the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many ways to get rid of unpleasant feelings, yeah? And that is just one way. I mean, we want to, when we do the pain investigation, we want to feel the pain. We want to understand what is pain, yeah? So that once we understand, you know, the pain will not bother us. But if we try to get rid of it, and there are so many things there, oh yes, so metta. I mean, it's like, you know, we have a heap of earth from us, and then we send metta to this heap of earth, yeah? And what does it do? Yeah? Or, you know, I mean, we shit in the open, you know, and there's a big, big heap of shit, you know, and then we send metta to it, yeah? It doesn't become nicer, it doesn't smell better, you know, when we send metta. We don't want to get rid, yeah? I mean, a super practice is all about, you know, making things, yeah? Making things loathsome, or seeing the loathsomeness of this body. And seeing the loathsomeness of the body produces unpleasant feelings. And that is the whole idea. And why is it the whole idea? Because all our life we were running for pleasant feelings. Huh? I mean, you know, there is a coin. The coin has a head and it has a tail. Yeah? The head is the pleasantness and the tail is the unpleasantness. Yeah? So we have to be aware of the unpleasantness. You know, if you want to understand what the coin is, yeah? And the coin is greed and hate. Yeah? Greed, you know, I mean, is the head, you know, and hate is the tail, yeah? If you want to understand what is greed and it is hate, yeah? We have to see both sides of it, yeah? And at the moment when they begin, you know, a super practice, you know, it is really wholesome, you know, to see only this loathsomeness, you know, I mean, to balance the scale, you know, I mean, all our life, you know, I mean, the scale was completely unbalanced, yeah? I mean, we were always running for pleasantness, 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 pleasantness. Whenever there was an unpleasantness, you know, we tried to escape it, you know, run for the pleasantness. And now we reverse the gear, yeah? Looking for, wherever we go, we look for the unpleasantness of it, yeah? I mean, when we look at the food, you will look for the unpleasantness of it, yeah? I mean, we see it, you know, how it is digested in the body. I mean, nobody wants to see, you know, the digestion process of this nice food, you know, that lays out on our table. And 5 minutes later, it is in the stomach, you know, and I mean, it looks disgusting and it smells disgusting. Because this body is nothing else than a factory that turns everything that is beautiful, nice, and good smelling, you know, into something that is disgusting. And we have to, you know, I mean, the super practice is about that, you know, to get in touch, yeah, with reality. And the reality means, you know, there are two sides of a coin, yeah. One is the pleasantness, one is the unpleasantness. If you always try to avoid, yeah, just like people, oh, metta to my hurting knee. That is just, you know, trying to avoid the unpleasantness. Huh? We want to understand what the unpleasantness is. You understand? Is it clear? Yeah? You have any questions? Use the time, yeah. I mean, that's all what I can say. Yeah. Unless you want to turn around in the hamster wheel and give it to chance where you're born, yeah? Huh? Because we have made good karma and we have made bad karma, yeah? I mean, we have the chances to be in any kind of these realms of existence, yeah?
Yes.
Huh? And whatever is the strongest, you know, will lead us to us if we don't have the sati, yeah?
And the good and the bad don't balance out.
It's not. Yeah. If you have 100% good, you know, and 30% bad, you know, I mean, you say, oh, okay, I give 30% of my good away, you know, and no, that doesn't work. It works with money, yeah, but it doesn't work with spoon and bow. Okay.